Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Your word is so wonderful. It's food for our spirit. It's the bread of life. And as we feed upon your word, we know that we'll be nourished and strengthened and even healed in our physical bodies because you sent your word to heal us and deliver us from all destruction. So we open our hearts to receive the engrafted word of truth right now. And thank you that that truth will give us wisdom and insight and understanding into your perfect will for each of our lives. And I pray that as this word goes out over the airwaves, that people from around the world will be blessed and edified by the ministry of the Holy Spirit through your word, and you'll confirm it with signs and wonders and miracles in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. I want to talk about the settled word. Look at somebody and say, the settled word. Psalm 119, verse 88, the psalmist says, revive me according to your loving kindness, so that I may keep the testimony of your mouth. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. And that's going to be the focal point of this message. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Your faithfulness continues throughout all generations. You establish the earth and it stands. In verse 88, when the psalmist is saying by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, revive me. How many of you could use some reviving? Amen? The church uses the term revival, and basically what that is talking about is bringing life back to something that is slowly dying. Amen? It needs to be revived. Many of you ladies, and not just ladies, guys too, because I like plants. I like to have plants in the house, flowers. They look good and they smell good and they help the environment with oxygen and everything else. But if you don't water a plant, after a while it will wither and it will begin to die. But if you put water in there, what happens? It revives. Amen. In other words, it gets its strength back and it begins to stand up and be the beautiful creation that God wanted it to be and it intended it to be. And the psalmist is saying to the Lord in prayer, revive me. Revive me. I need revival, Lord, according to your loving kindness, so that I may keep the testimony of your mouth. So there's a double blessing here. When God revives us with his love, it's in order that we might stand up and declare his word. Amen. Tell everybody about his goodness. Tell everybody about his love. Tell everybody about his healing. So God revives us in our difficult times with his love. It's his love reaching out to revive us so that we can continue to declare his gospel, his good news. I mean, you know, we're not going to be a very good witness if we walk around and tell everybody that God loves them and our life is a mess. Amen. I mean, we need to be a walking Bible, every one of us. We need to be a billboard for Jesus. Amen? And our life is a living testimony of what God can do if we will believe him. So if you want to be a good testimony, then start doing things the way God says to do it. And ask him to revive you, to bring new life into you according to his loving kindness. Loving kindness. It's not just kindness, but it's loving kindness. God is kind, but he's not only kind, he does it with such love and such tenderness. God loves you so much. He's reaching out to every one of you right now, putting his arms around you, encouraging you, wiping your tears and telling you, I'm going to make things all right if you'll just trust me. If you'll just trust me. Some of you listening to me right now, you have heartache. You've had loss in your life. You've gone through divorce. You've gone through a death in the family. You've lost a job. You've lost money. You've lost things. And you've wondered, why is this happening to me? I don't understand this. I'm a good person. I try hard. I work hard. I trust God. I believe God. Why are these things happening to me? And I want to encourage you that it's not God that's making these things happen to you. God's not bringing the bad things into your life. It's the devil. I told you, good God, bad devil. Amen? And the thief comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. And what you need to learn to do, what we need to learn to do, is to take our place and stand against the wiles of the devil. We need to use the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, to stand against the lies of Satan. We can get lazy sometimes when it comes to spiritual things. You have the best intentions, just like the disciples did in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus said, tarry with me 1 hour. He went off to pray, turned around, looked back. They were already sawing logs. Man, they were snoring. He comes back, wakes him up, said, hey, what? Wake up. Couldn't you tarry with me at least for an hour? He said, I know your spirit is willing, but your flesh is weak. And what he's saying is we all have good intentions, right? But we very seldom follow through with those intentions. It's like reading the Bible. You know what? I'm going to read the Bible tonight before I go to bed. And then you get busy doing stuff, and by the time you get ready to go to bed, you go, you know what? I am really tired. I think I'm going to, I'll catch up tomorrow night. I'll read double. And then you get so far behind, you just don't read at all. And you talk about praying and talking to the Lord and just opening your heart. You know, you don't have to pray religious prayers, you know. You don't have to pray in King James English, O thou Lordeth of the universes, hearest thou meest now at this timest in my lifest. I mean, geesh. Just talk to him normal like you talk to anybody. You don't talk to your wife that way, do you? I hope, oh my dearest, I loveth theeth. No, you don't. What you need to do is just talk to God normally. Just open your heart. Be normal with Him. Talk to Him. And pour out your heart to Him. That's what prayer is, just conversation with the Lord. But instead, some of you just fall down on the bed and you give that little kiddie player a prayer, now I lay me down to sleep, you know, kind of a thing. You know, God wants a little bit more from you. Amen? And if you'll give Him a little bit more, He'll give you a lot more. Hallelujah. The psalmist goes on to say in verse 89, I love this, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Now, I looked up several translations. I like this. Listen to this. This is the Message translation of verse 89. It says, what you say goes, God, and stays as permanent as the heavens. Your truth never goes out of fashion. I like that. Your truth never goes out of fashion. God's word is always the same. God has not changed His mind. His word is settled forever in heaven. That word settled in the Hebrew is a word that's spelled N-A-T-S-A-B, not sob. Maybe that's how you pronounce it. I'm not a Hebrew scholar. Like Andrew Womack said, I know a little Hebrew and a little Greek. One owns a deli, one owns a dry cleaner. Anyway, that went over your head too. Anyhow, the word settled in Hebrew means to station, establish, rear up, set over, settle, or to stand. And so when he says, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. He's saying your word is stationed in heaven. It's established. It's reared up. It is set over the heaven. It is settled. It stands in heaven forever. Now, think about this. What he's saying is, God said something, and it's settled. No argument, no debate. This is the way it is. God said, let there be light. Boom, there's light. There's no argument about that. There's no discussion. There's no vote on it. It's light. Let there be light. And it's light. Every time God speaks and says something, His word is settled. It's established in heaven. Now, when Jesus taught the disciples to pray, He said, pray this way, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So if God's word is settled in heaven, Jesus says, you need to pray that that same word that's settled in heaven gets settled here on the earth. So we can have the same benefits and the same blessings here on earth as are being enjoyed in heaven right now. Amen? He says, pray that God's kingdom come, God's will be done on the earth, just like it is in heaven. Think about it. In heaven, there's no lack. There's no poverty. There's no sickness and disease. There's no death. There's no sorrow. There's no tear. There's no pain. Those things have all passed away in heaven. But Jesus said, I want you to get a little bit of that here on earth too. Amen? I want you to never worry about going to bed hungry. I want you to never worry about paying your mortgage. In fact, I don't even want you to have a mortgage. I want you to own it outright. I don't want you to ever stress out about your health, because by the stripes of Jesus, you're healed. Now, there's no sickness in heaven. And God sent His word from heaven and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Jesus is the word. When God sent Jesus, He sent His word, the embodiment of Himself, His will for all mankind on the earth. He sent His word and healed them. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, Acts 10:38, and He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil because God was with Him. You see, the oppression, the sickness, the disease, the poverty, the lack, the death on this earth comes from the devil, doesn't come from God. And Jesus went about doing good. That's the good news, the gospel, healing all, not just some, but all that were sick. Why? Because God was with him. So it's God's will. God's word has been settled in heaven. Then he sent it to the earth to demonstrate it to us. Jesus is a living, breathing, walking, talking demonstration of God's will, plan, and purposes on earth for every one of the children of God that will believe on his name. God doesn't have favorites, and God doesn't have grandchildren. He just has children. And his blessing is for every one of his children. He doesn't treat anyone any better. It's just that some of us are more aware of the blessing that's available. And when we become aware of the blessing that's available, we should take full advantage of it. Amen? Amen. It's just like if somebody put $1 million in your checking account, but you didn't know anything about it, you're not going to write any checks on it, are you? But once you find out, you get your checking account statement and it says you got $1 million in here, I'll guarantee you, you're going to be writing checks the same day. Oh, yes, you are. You're going to go out and buy a new car, new clothes. You're going to do that. I know the first check you're going to write is tithe to the church. Amen. But you see, when you become aware that something is in your possession, then you can appreciate it. Amen. And Jesus is the word sent to us that we might appreciate everything that God offers us through grace. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. And verse 90, it gets better. He said, your faithfulness continues throughout all generations. You establish the earth and it stands. All generations, hundreds and hundreds of years ago when the psalmist spoke this, you weren't even thought about yet, except in the heart of God. But God looked down through the corridor of time and said, the promise that I'm making this moment will be just the same hundreds, even thousands of years later to anybody that will believe it. And that's why the writer of Hebrews in Hebrews 13:8 can say, Jesus Christ the same, when? Yesterday, today, and forever. And so when we read our Bibles about Jesus and the ministry of Jesus and see the works of Jesus, the things that he did, and Jesus himself said, he that believeth in me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these, because I go to the Father, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. That's a promise of Jesus. He said, I'm going to do this for you if you'll only believe me. And so what we see him doing in the Scripture, he said, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, he did it yesterday. Jesus Christ the same today, that means he'll do it today if you need him to do it today. And forever, it means tomorrow, next month, next week, next year, whatever need arises, you can always turn to Jesus and he'll treat you the same. Why? Because the Word of God is settled forever in heaven. It doesn't change. I was listening to somebody on, Jerry Seville said this on TV last week and I liked it. He said, you know what? The Bible that we have, the King James Version of the Bible or whatever, the canon of Scripture, he said, it's the same. It's God's Word. It changes. It is the good news and it stays the same every single day. He said, every newspaper in the nation, they have to print a new edition every morning. Amen. Amen. Because the world's news changes every day. Opinions change every day. You know, some of you, you're health conscious or you're conscious of your financial investments, this, that, and other, and the doctor says, this is unhealthy, don't eat this. Okay, I'm not going to eat that anymore. And then a year later, they come back and say, oh, we changed our mind, this is healthy, go ahead and eat this now. The other stuff you're eating is going to kill you. And you're going, whoa, I'm confused now. Should I eat this? Should I not eat it? Whoa, what should I eat? You know what? Go back to the Bible and see what the Bible says. The Bible says all things are good if you receive them with faith and sanctify them with the Word of God and prayer. Man, I can eat worms, and they'll be good if I bless them in Jesus' name. Oh, come on now, like none of you have ever eaten a worm before. At least a gummy worm, maybe? Come on. Gee. But really, if you look at some of these survival programs, the stuff they do, I don't know, yuck, eating grubs, worms, and you know, whatever. Anyhow. All I'm saying is that man's opinion changes and man's best advice falls by the wayside in comparison to God's Word that is eternal and it stands forever in heaven and it never changes, never changes. That should give you great comfort. You know, sometimes people make you promises, oh, I love you and I'm going to love you forever until you cross me and then I'm going to whatever. I know none of you had a relationship like that in your life, but no, you know, people say things. They have the best intentions, and they project, you know, this is going to be wonderful. And yet they don't take into consideration that people change. But God doesn't change, and His Word doesn't change. And one of the beautiful things about it is if we will trust Him and believe His Word, we don't have to change either except for the good. You understand what I'm saying? You should not be expecting to get worse as you get older. You should expect to be getting better as you get older. Listen to me. I know what I'm talking about. Because the Word of God says in the book of Proverbs, the path of the righteous, how many of you are righteous? Some of you aren't raising your hand because you're not sure. I don't know if I'm righteous or not. Let me get it straight with you. If you believe in Jesus, you're righteous. You're right with God, not based upon your performance. You're right with God based upon Jesus' performance. So you should shoot your hand way up there. Yeah, I'm righteous. Bless God, I'm righteous. Yes, I am. Look at me. I'm a righteous person. That makes some of you uncomfortable, doesn't it? I'm not ashamed to stand up in front of you and say, you're looking at a holy man. I am a holy man. I'm not going to shave my head and wear a robe and sandals, but I am a holy man. I am a holy person not because of my deeds or my actions. I'm holy because He's holy. He made me holy because He moved in. His holiness is in me. I'm not holy because of my holiness. I'm holy because of His holiness. I'm not righteous because of my righteousness. I'm righteous because of His righteousness. And I'm healthy and I'm healed, not because of anything that I've done or my wisdom, but because by His stripes I'm healed. I walk in divine health because His health is in me. He sent His Word and healed me, and I choose to believe that. And every day of my life, I give thanks for divine health. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord raises up a standard against him. If my body aches and pains and I feel bad, and occasionally it does, I just stop right there and I say, the Word of God says I'm healed by His stripes, and I choose to believe the Word of God. I'm not going to believe how I feel. I'm not going to believe what anybody says. I'm not going to believe how it looks. I believe the Word of God. Somebody said, what if it doesn't work? Well, I'm not worried about going to heaven early. Hello? The worst case scenario, I get to go to heaven early. But I made up my mind a long time ago. I'm not going to let anybody chop and dice on the temple of God. Are you listening to me? I mean, why should I let somebody, even though they have great skill and ability, cut and remove this and do this and do that for me and put this part in, take that part out and everything, when my Creator made me and I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and whatever He made, He can remake if it needs to be remade. I believe God to take care of me. He is the Lord my physician. He is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth thee. Jesus, by His stripes, paid for my health and my healing, and I'm going to rest in that all the days of my life. And He'll satisfy me with long life and show me His salvation because I know His Word is settled forever in heaven. So I believe that Word. I trust that Word. That Word is better than gold. Amen. Better than the word of man. It's the Word of God. And it's good for all generations. So if it worked for Paul, if it worked for Silas, if it worked for James and John, if it worked for Peter, it'll work for you. It'll work for me. It'll work for all of us. God is no respecter of persons. Listen to what the prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah 55:8. Listen carefully to this. Isaiah 55:8. It says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. I want you to know that God always thinks and acts in faith. Always positive. Because that's His nature. God's nature is always positive. God doesn't wake up with a headache. God's never had a migraine. God doesn't have a bad day. Hello? Say amen or oh me. And so that should be our nature too in Christ. If we recognize we're in Christ, we're in Him, and He's in us, then we should be positive all the time too. We should be thinking positive, acting positive, believing positive. Now, I know that seems unrealistic to some of you because you're so used to saying things as you see it. Well, I call it like I see it. Well, you should start calling it like you believe it, not like you see it. If you keep calling it like you see it, you're just going to keep getting what you see. If you don't like what you see, it's because of what you say. Well, is that confusing to you? I'm just leading you down the road here. See, say, saw, through something. No, really. It's the truth. Craig mentioned it earlier. It's true. Proverbs 18:21. The death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. If you love life, speak words of life, and you'll eat the fruit of life. But if you speak death, you're always complaining and murmuring. If you're bitter, if you're judging people, you get your feelings hurt and you think, well, I got to hurt back. Well, that's the wrong attitude. When people hurt you, you turn around and pray for them and bless them, and God will bless you for doing that. Do you understand that concept? You know, people hurt you sometimes. They don't even do it intentionally. They don't mean to. It just happens. Stuff happens. But we don't have to let it affect us in a negative way. We need to think the way God thinks. We need to think positively. He goes on to say in verse 9, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God's desire is always to lift us up. He never wants to put us down. You've had people in your life to put you down, to ridicule you, to criticize you, to say things over your life like you're no good, and you're never going to amount to anything, and on top of that, you got bad breath and your feet stink. You know, I mean, they just are always saying bad things about you. Nothing good, nothing positive. But I want to guarantee you, God never talks that way to you or about you. God loves you, and He wants to lift you up. He does not want to put you down. In verse 10, He says, for as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater. If you look at where he's going, follow along here. He's talking about rain and snow, but he's comparing it to the Word of God. Rain and snow are essential for fruitful growth. If we didn't have rain and snow, everything would dry up and die. Amen? God's using this as an illustration that in order for the earth to bear fruit, to be fruitful, to produce, it needs rain and it needs snow. And he says, for as the rain and the snow come down from heaven... Then verse 11, he says, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. Just like rain and snow, he's comparing his word. Now, his word is settled forever in heaven. There's no debate about it. It's a done deal. It's settled. It's established in the heaven. And now he's sending that word from heaven to us, just like he sends rain and snow to water and nourish the earth. He's sending his word to the earth to water and nourish our spirits. That word is settled in heaven. God is saying, I want you to get it settled in your heart on the earth so you can have the blessing of the Lord that makes you truly rich, and He adds no sorrow with it. God's word always bears fruit, and it always succeeds when we believe it in our heart and we confess it with our mouth. That's the way God's word works. And we've got to make an adjustment in the way we talk. Paul in Romans 10, verses 8 through 10 says, the word is nigh you, in your mouth and in your heart. That's the word of faith which we preach. That if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness. In other words, how do we get right with God? We believe in what Jesus did, and that makes us right with God. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness, but once we believe that in our heart, the next thing we need to do is confess it with our mouth. For with the heart, man believes unto a right relationship or rightness with God, but with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Or to put it this way, confession brings about possession. We possess what we confess. If you don't like what you got, then you need to look at what you've been saying. Proverbs 6:2 says, you're snared by the words of your mouth. You're taken by the words of your mouth. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so what we meditate on, what we think about is what we say, and what we say is what we get. We create our life around us by the words that we speak. So God is telling us, just fine-tune your conversation. I believe it's Psalm 50, verse 23 that says, whoever offers praise glorifies me, and to him who orders his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. So we need to order our conversation. We need to fine-tune and adjust how we speak. And I know sometimes that, you know, it can get irritating if somebody's picking on you. Everything you say, they're correcting you all the time. And God's not like that. But the Holy Spirit is gently, lovingly, kindly saying to us, listen to what's coming out of your mouth because it's affecting the way you're living. If you're saying, I got a headache, you talk about, I've got this, I've got that, and you're, do you want pity from people or do you want healing from God? I care less about what people think about my physical condition. What I care about is what God says about it. So I'm not going to walk around trying to get pity from people. Poor me, yeah, I'm just in a terrible shape today. Would you make me some chicken soup and hold my hand, pat my head, you know, whatever. I don't need that. I need prayer. I need you to lay hands on me and cast it out, rub it in, whatever. Just get me healed. Get in agreement with me. Get in agreement with the Word of God. And it works. Amen? Amen. By His stripes you're healed. He sent His Word to heal. So get hold of that Word. Believe it in your heart and confess it with your mouth. Again, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And he goes on to say that whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. So there it is again. It works for everybody. It's a blanket policy. Everybody can have the same thing from God if you'll just believe it with your heart and confess it with your mouth. It will belong to you. Look at somebody and say, pay attention. Amen. Verse 12, he goes on to say, for you will go out with joy, be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills will break forth into shouts of joy before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. This is metaphoric language, but I like it. Can you see trees clapping their hands, you know, their limbs, their leaves together? But what it is this is talking about the results of believing the promises of God. This is what's going to happen. He said, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It's not going to return to me void or empty, but it will accomplish what I've sent it to do, and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. God sent His word to heal us, and this is the result if we'll accept that word and believe that word. You shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills will break forth before you. There'll be shouts of joy, and all of the field, the trees of the field shall clap their hands. We used to sing that. I made an attempt. Thank you very much for your patience. Anyway, that's the results of believing the Word of God. You go out with joy. You'll be led forth with peace. The mountains and the valleys will break forth before you. He's talking about victory here. Amen? He's talking about success. God wants you to succeed. God wants you to be blessed in your life, in every area of your life. Your health, your finances, your marriage, your children, your career, everything. God wants you to have good success in all of these things. And then in verse 13 he said, instead of the thorn bush, the cypress will come up. Instead of the nettle, another translation calls it briars, the myrtle will come up. And it will be a memorial to the Lord for an everlasting sign, which will not be cut off. In other words, where you used to get bad things, you're going to get good things. Amen? And isn't it wonderful that it can come by just a small adjustment in the way you speak? Start speaking positive. Start speaking God's word. Start speaking God's promise. Start thanking Him and praising Him in spite of how things are right now. You may be feeling physically lousy right now. Well, stop saying, I feel lousy. Start saying, I'm healed by His stripes. Thank you that you sent your word and healed me. Thank you that you'll never leave me and never forsake me. Thank you, Lord, that your blessing makes me truly rich and you add no sorrow with it. Thank you that I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Thank you that my God meets all my needs through His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Thank God that if I can believe, all things are possible to them that are that will believe. And you know what? We just take all of the boundaries off of God, all the limitations off of God. The children of Israel did not get everything that God promised them because the scripture says they limited the Holy One of Israel. And you know how they limited Him? Through unbelief. And we limit God through our unbelief, and we express our unbelief through the words that we speak. It's just like Craig taught on Wednesday night about Joshua and Caleb. The 10 spies came back with an evil report and said, yeah, it's all there, just like God said. But man, there are giants there and we look like grasshoppers and there's no way we can going to do it. But Joshua and Caleb, they had a different spirit. And he goes, wow, God's given us the land. Yeah, there's giants there, but those giants are bred for us. They've lost their defenses. They're scared. God has given it to us. Let's go take it. But no, they took a vote, and it was 10 to 2 and 10 won. And because of the 10 winning, they spent 40 years in the wilderness, just walking in a circle, which was about an 8-day trip, took them 40 years. Walking in circles, repeating the same mistakes, murmuring and complaining, till they all died off in the wilderness.
God's very patient and very long-suffering. But I tell you what, I don't have 40 more years to walk around in the wilderness. How about you? Amen. I don't want to hang around for 40 years in the wilderness. I'm believing God for His best in my latter years. Amen. I believe that my latter house, the end of my life, is going to be more glorious, more fruitful, more incredible than anything I've ever experienced up to this point. And I'm not saying that just for me. I'm saying it for every one of us. I quoted from Proverbs earlier, the path of the righteous. I am the righteous. You're the righteous if you believe in Jesus. The path of the righteous is like the light of dawn. It gets brighter and brighter until the full day. We don't get dimmer and dimmer, dumber and dumber, older and older, badder and badder, worse and worse. No, we get better and better, brighter and brighter, gooder and gooder. Whatever. We're blessed. Amen? That's the way we should see it, as the righteousness of God in Christ. Hallelujah. So we need to expect good things when you believe God's Word and let that Word of God get settled down inside of you. I want to close today by asking you to turn with me to the book of Colossians chapter 1. And I want to go out by reading this passage in Colossians chapter 1. I believe it will encourage you because it's a testimony of what has happened to us when we believe on Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And it is God's Word, and it's settled forever in heaven. And I want you to get this passage. I want you to get it settled in your heart. Because if you'll believe this, and you will exercise your faith in this Word of God, then there is nothing impossible to you. There's nothing that you can't do and believe God for if you'll just internalize God's Word and let it get settled inside of you. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 13, this is the Apostle Paul, and he says, "For He, God the Father, through Jesus Christ, for He rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." Now, picture that. We were all living in Satan's domain and in darkness, but Jesus came and rescued us and delivered us out of darkness and brought us into His kingdom of light and gave us redemption. Redemption means He bought us back. He paid a price for us, and our sins are forgiven. Our sins are what separated us from God, but the blood of Jesus cleanses all of our sins, so there's nothing to separate us from God anymore. I'm right with God because Jesus forgave my sins. I didn't earn it. I can't buy it. I don't deserve it. It's unmerited, unearned, undeserved. But that's what grace is, and that's what He offers us. Amen? Amen. And verse 15, He, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God. You want to know what God looks like? Look at Jesus. Amen. The firstborn of all creation, for by Him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authority. All things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things. Do you realize Jesus is the eternal Son of God? Eternal in the heavens. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. Jesus is what's holding this whole world together. He is also head of the body, the church. We are the body of Christ. He's the head of that body. We are the church. He's the head of the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that He Himself will come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile all things to Himself, having made peace through the blood of His cross. Glory to God! We have peace with God because of the blood of Jesus. That's why we can plead the blood of Jesus over our lives, over our health, over our finances. The blood of Jesus Christ is the most powerful agent in heaven and on earth. When Jesus died on the cross, the types and the shadows of the old covenant were fulfilled in Him. For hundreds and hundreds of years, the priest would kill animals and take and sprinkle their blood on the altar and say a prayer and offer up a sacrifice. And they had to do it every day, 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 day in, day out, day in, day out, day out, day in, day in, day out. And the high priest will once a year go into the Holy of Holies and make atonement first for his own sins and then for the sins of Israel, for the whole nation. It was called the Day of Atonement. Once a year, a special sacrifice was offered for all the sins. But they had to keep doing it over and over and over again. But when Jesus died on the cross, He ascended into heaven and took His own blood and placed it on the mercy seat in heaven one time for everybody, for forever. Never has to do it again. Your sins, past, present, and future, have all been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. The sins that you might commit next week have already been washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. God's not holding you guilty for the sins because the blood of Jesus has cleansed them. Now that doesn't give you, and it shouldn't give you the motivation or the desire to just go out and live a sinful life, because the wages of sin is still death. What it should do is give you such appreciation for Him that you want to draw closer to Him and take advantage of that grace and live a holy life and a pure life and a good life. Grace doesn't make you sin more. It should make you sin less. Sin less. Understand what I'm saying? I'm sinless because of the blood of Jesus. I'm sinless because of the blood of Jesus. I sin less. Amen? Because of the grace of God. Now we move on a little bit farther, verse 20. And through Him to reconcile all things to Himself, having made peace through the blood of His cross, through Him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. And although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet He has now reconciled you in His fleshly body through death, in order to present you before Him holy and blameless and beyond reproach, if indeed you continue in the faith, firmly established and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, was made a minister. Now, verse 23 in the King James Version says it this way: if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled. And there's that word settled again. This time it's in the Greek, and the Greek means to sit immovable, settled, steadfast. That's all God is saying to us in the Old Covenant and in the New Covenant. He's telling us His Word forever, O Lord, Your Word, God's Word, is settled in heaven. It is established. It is not going to change. It never has. It never will change. It's the same. You can depend on it. And now He's saying, now that you're in Christ in the new covenant, He sent His Word to heal you. What you need to do is to believe that promise of God, and all the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ. Believe that Word in your heart, confess it with your mouth, and just absolutely be determined you're not going to give up, give in, or let go until you get what God has promised, because God is not a man that He should lie. He has spoken the truth, and that truth has set you free. So regardless of the challenges in your life, regardless of the symptoms in your body, regardless of how your bank account may look right now, you may be in bankruptcy or foreclosure right now or whatever, but what you need to start doing is saying, you know what? I'm going to take what little I do have, and I'm going to sow a seed in God's kingdom, and I'm going to start praising God and thanking Him that all of my needs are met through His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And you know what? If your financial situation is horrible because you made some mistakes, or you even, let me go so far to say, even if you intentionally lied, cheated, or stole from somebody and got yourself in a mess, you know what? God will still redeem you. He still loves you. He will forgive you, and you can just as one preacher said, admit it and quit it. Say, okay, Lord, yeah, I'm busted. I did it. Now, have mercy on me. Look at the mess I made, but can you fix it? God goes, step aside and watch what I can do. Step aside and watch what grace is. Step aside and let me restore unto you the years that the cankerworm has eaten up in your life. Let me give back to you what bad decisions have taken from you, what the devil has stolen from you and killed and destroyed in your life. Let me show you what grace really is. Just like the prodigal son, man, he got his inheritance. He went out and wasted the whole thing. The older boy stayed home and saved it, but he didn't do any better. His attitude was wrong. When the young boy came back, he said, you know I blew it, and I know I'm not worthy, and I'm not worthy to be your son, but I'll tell you what, I'll work for you. I'll work for you. You know what? The father said, I don't want you to work for me. You're my son. And that's the way God is with us. He doesn't want us to work for Him. He doesn't need workers and laborers. What He wants is sons. Sons and daughters in the kingdom. And if you'll let Him, He'll restore your fortune. He'll restore, by grace, everything you've lost. And that should be exciting right now. I tell you what, you just need to get a happy attitude. You need to get up and dance around a little bit and say, thank God, things aren't as bad as they look. Amen. Praise God, things are getting better right now. I'm just going to start praising God, thanking God. I'm a praising raisin. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And God watches over His word and brings it to pass because it's settled forever in heaven. Question is, as I close today, every one of you listening to me, the question is, are you going to let the word of God be settled in your heart forever? Let it get settled in your heart. I tell you what, you're in for a blessing. Blessings on your way right now. Blessings are about to knock you down sideways. From behind, from in front, from above, from beneath. The blessing of the Lord is just going to come all over you. You just need to get ready for it. Stop complaining and start praising God. Good things are about to happen to every one of you. Would you bow your heads with me and join hands with the person next to you? As you do that this morning, I just want to pray for each and every one of you, those of you listening also over the internet or listening to a CD. God's not limited by time and space. He wants to reach out to you right where you're at. And I want each and every one of you to pray this prayer with me out loud. Say these words out loud with me. Father God, I'm so grateful that you love me so much, that you encourage me with your word, which indeed is settled forever in heaven. And from this day forward, I choose and I commit to believing that your word is settled forever in my heart. I believe the blessing of the Lord makes me truly rich, and He adds no sorrow with it. I believe He sent His word and healed me and delivered me from all destruction. I believe I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I believe that I am loved and I am highly favored because of the grace of God. And therefore, I expect the goodness of God to be poured forth in my life abundantly that I might share with those around me. And I declare that all honor, all glory, and all praise goes to the one and the only one who makes it all possible, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus, for blessing me and settling your word in my heart now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, jump up and give God a shout. Come on. Yeah, leave it on. Leave it on. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Chris has got a word from the Lord here.
Can you hear me? Oh, this is the other one, I guess. This one?
Yeah, push it a little bit.
Amen. Everyone can just go ahead and sit down just for a moment. And close your eyes again, just for a moment here. As we were in praise and worship, the Lord brought this to me and has been confirmed several times just by the things that Pastor said in the sermon. But there is a woman here. You have had this negative attitude, and it's almost as if for so long you've been this way. And it's that people expect that of you. And you don't really mean to say things negatively. You don't really mean to be a downer to people. And in fact, deep down, you want to change. Deep down, you don't want to be that way. And that's the good news. And you may not know this, but sometimes as you go around people, people will say, here she comes. And they're almost bracing themselves for the negativism and the things that you will say. The attitude that you will project, and you've almost accepted that this is just the way you are. And in fact, you've said this to yourself, this is just the way I am, and you've accepted that about yourself. But God wants you to know today that you don't have to be that way, that He doesn't want you to be that way, and that His grace is sufficient to enable you to say, to bless rather than curse. One thing that James said in the book of James, he said that, you know, by the same tongue we bless and curse, and out of the same fountain You know, we shouldn't have bitter water and sweet water coming out of the same fountain.
Amen.
And so God doesn't want you to curse. We think of the word curse, you know, in terms of using certain words, you know, and words that are obscene or profane or whatever. But really cursing with your mouth has to do with saying things that bring death rather than life.
Yes.
And so God wants you to know today that before you leave here, that the things that have been said to you. In fact, whenever Pastor Dan interpreted that tongue, that went right into your heart and confronted that attitude that was within you. And you knew that immediately. Whenever that came into your spirit, and you knew that that was speaking to you, and the Holy Spirit has continued throughout the service saying multiple things to confront that attitude within you. And so as we have prayed, as Pastor has prayed this prayer that you have repeated, understand and know and acknowledge that the grace of God is there to help you, and that God knows that you don't want to be this way. And even though people will expect that of you, God wants you to show something else to them. God wants to be glorified in your speech. And whenever people will see that you have changed and see that you say things differently and your attitude has changed, they'll wonder why it is that now this person who has been negative for so long, who has shown this attitude, what is it about this person now that has changed so that they are no longer bringing forth bitter water, but now it's sweet water? And then they'll know and they will glorify God and be able to recognize and realize that it's the grace of God that has done this in you. And it comes through no kind of therapy, no kind of psychology, but the Holy Spirit within you and His grace of God, the love of God that's been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit is going to shine forth as you give place to Him in your life. And even if it seems that you want to say something bad, that you want to say something negative, search inside your heart and what the Holy Spirit would have you to say, and hold your tongue, even if you really can't say something positive. And what you'll find is as you starve that thing, as you starve that attitude of negativity, and as you feed the blessing within you, as you feed your spirit on the Word of God and take upon yourself and renew your mind according to the Word of God and not conform to that old way of thinking, you'll see that the grace of God will continue to change you, and you'll be continually changed day by day, and it will be as if some people won't even recognize you anymore. Amen?
Now, I want to say this too, that even though you have carried maybe this attitude with you for years and years, God can and will for you change it in an instant. Change it in an instant. And I want you to stay up here, Chris, for a minute, because let's all go ahead and stand. You just go ahead and stand down there. And you know who you are, and God knows who you are, and God is not in any way trying to call you out to embarrass you, but sometimes it's a sign of humility just to admit, yeah, you know what, I need that. And nobody's going to judge you or make fun of you or criticize you. In fact, we're going to rejoice with you because you got a victory today, and that's what it's all about. Amen? And there may be more than one, but at least one person, that word is very specific to you. So I'm going to just invite you, as everybody just bow your head and begin to pray. Keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Don't worry about what's going on around you. But if that word spoke to you, just step out of your seat and come down and let Chris just agree with you in prayer right there. Because God's going to do it for you. Don't be embarrassed or ashamed. Just get up there and get it right now. And if you want a life-changing experience, it's available to you right now at this moment. Get it. Get it. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.